across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Good morning, everybody. This is Todd Aldo in for Mr. Pat Breitlow. Normally the time you'd hear Up North News Radio with Mr. Breitlow. He is on a well-deserved couple of days off. I'm joining you here from the Civic Media World Headquarters at our new Studio A1, Studio B. I'm not sure. Bring in Greg Bach. He is back with us this morning from our studios down in Waukesha. How the heck are you, Mr. Bach?
Turning the mic on. There we go. I'm doing quite well. Doing quite well, my friend. I had a week off from the show last week, thanks to Mr. Luke Mathers for that. And I also had just a fun, fantastic weekend. How about yourself, sir?
Not bad at all. On this Monday, June 24th, 7 minutes now past the hour of 6 o'clock, just kind of hung out. As I know, a lot of places in the state, it was pretty darn rainy here in the Madison area, particularly on Saturday. And a number of places across the state of Wisconsin had some pretty severe flooding and whatnot. As a matter of fact, if we take a look at the state of Wisconsin right now, we can see a number of flood warnings are still in effect for places, particularly from, from Stevens Point over to just south of maybe Osseo area to Green Bay and then points south. So particularly the southern part of the state got some pretty heavy weather. Also be aware as you travel the state of Wisconsin today, some dense fog advisories for parts of the state as well. So allow a little extra time depending upon where you are going this morning. But yeah, Greg, in the Janesville area, so just south of Madison before you get into Illinois, that area got what is now being classified, the National Weather Service says, either an E1 or an E or F1 or F2 tornado. Also over in the Argyle area in southwest Wisconsin, they also had a tornado touchdown there. One church in particular was destroyed and some other buildings as well. So it kind of came through from Dubuque in that southwest corner, right just north of the state line and right across the state, and then also just a little north of Madison as well. Sun Prairie kind of got hit a little bit with some pretty severe storms as well. So people are still cleaning up across the state of Wisconsin. Again, up north, thankfully, not a whole lot of damage from the reports that we're seeing today. Did you have any damage down in the southeast Wisconsin in the Waukesha area?
No, our rain was pretty light, pretty easy. We did see some fog. I saw some fog last night, but it was pretty simple, nothing crazy. And down here in southeastern Wisconsin, especially where I live in Kenosha, which is the southest of East Wisconsin, anytime we're seeing those heavy rains, we're seeing those big weather patterns, any sort of warnings, we get some of it, but we don't get a lot of it. That hard storm that hit like last month, we just got a smattering of. We got barely anything.
Really? Okay. Well, you're fortunate.
Yeah, very, very fortunate, I will say. Yes, I count my blessings.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a cool morning as we take a look at temperatures across the state of Wisconsin, particularly up north, up in the Superior area, 50 degrees this morning. Over to the Eau Claire area, 55 degrees. Wausau at 54. Gets a little warmer once you get down to La Crosse, 63 degrees, 64 in the old hometown for me of Richland Center. 59 degrees at the airport here in Dane County in Madison, Wisconsin. 59 over in Green Bay. Looks like somewhere between 55 and 57, Greg, over Waukesha. Gets a little bit warmer as you get towards the lake. 64 in Milwaukee and 63 down in Racine and the Kenosha area. Today is going to be a little, weather-wise, looks like a calm before the storm as most parts of the state will remain dry during the day. But again, the National Weather Service saying that there is a chance for some perhaps severe weather in parts of the state, particularly in the southern part of the state, again, where we do not need it. Some heavy rains and severe weather perhaps overnight. And then once that gets out of here, it looks like the rest of the week should be pretty good in terms of not a whole lot more precipitation. precipitation. Although for the next couple of days, Greg Bach, it will be downright muggy, balmy, and sultry. No one around it. It's gonna be hot and humid.
Oh, when you talk to Brittany later on in the show, I'm gonna be mad at her because she controls the weather. Right. She can also talk to us about the fact that like a month to towards the end of the winter season going into spring, we were at a really hard drought that was really, really bad. And then all of a sudden they were like, no, we'll take care of that. And now we're at a point where we do not, no more rain, just no more rain, please.
No, you're exactly right. Particularly in Southwest Wisconsin, South Central Wisconsin, a lot of those farmers, ag producers, were hoping for wet weather this spring because you're right. They were still trying to get through the drought that lasted all through the winter. But yes, they can turn the taps off anytime. we have gotten through the drought at this point. By the way, those watching on the stream this morning, Greg Bach has his Cream City Brew Crew jersey. Brewers got a nice win yesterday, avoided sweep for the Padres.
Yeah. The moment Manny Machado leaves that team, I'll be okay with the Padres beating the Brewers. But every time they beat us, I'm like, that guy, $300 million, Todd. And guess what he doesn't have for it? A ring.
Yeah, right.
But I'm going to the game tonight. Tomorrow. And my friend Eitan Levine is going to be in town. He'll be on the show, Matt and Aaron, tomorrow. In the studio, he is doing a charity event for Make-A-Wish called 50 First Pitches, where he's setting a Guinness Book World Record, clocked and endorsed by Guinness. And he is throwing out 50 first pitches at baseball games all over the country to raise awareness and money for, well, not awareness, people know what Make-A-Wish is, but raise money for Make-A-Wish.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
And you can listen to Matt Nair on Air with Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach every morning from 8 until 10 right here. 10 until... I'm on so many shows right now, I can't get them all straight.
Earl. I'm telling Earl.
10 until noon. You precede us, our show at noon. So, yes, I know. Earl is 8 to 10.
We're your lead-in, buddy. What are you talking about?
More coffee. Yes. So, I'm here in Madison, and, of course, it's the home of the John and Gordy Show locally here in Madison, 6 to 8. And so I brought in some, I'm trying to be a morning guy, a peace offering. I brought them some Racine Kringle, some raspberry Kringle this morning. You don't like the Racine Kringle?
Okay, so is it's...
You're lived down there, for God's sake.
I did. Well, I've got hard opinions on this, Todd.
What's your opinion on Kringle?
Nothing against it. Do they sponsor us at all? Do we take any money from them?
Not that I know of.
Okay, so Racine Kringle, as I learned I lived in Racine. Yeah. I worked in Racine for about 6 years. I lived there for about three. And what I learned is that Racine Kringle is like, it's fine. It does the job. But when you want the Racine Kringle, when you want Kringle from Racine, that's the difference. There's Racine Kringle. And there's Kringle from Racine.
What's your favorite Kringle from Racine?
It's got to be O&H. It's O&H. I mean, it comes in that big wax paper bag, and it's just...
Well, we don't get that up here in Dane County, so I gotta make do.
Okay, that's true. Okay, you know what? Hey, buddy, you make it a good situation. Make it a good situation.
The first world problem. So anyway, we'll have some Kringle, have a little Wonder State coffee here. Got that in the cup, and we're going to make our way through the morning. As you said, Brittany Merlot comes up a little bit later with a complete weather forecast detail. At the bottom of this hour, friend of Up North News Radio and wonderful person, physician, OBGYN, and she happens to be a congressional candidate in the 8th Congressional District, Dr. Lyerly, will be in at the bottom of the hour. It is a monumentous for all the wrong reasons day. It is the second anniversary of the overturning of Roe v. Wade. So Dr. Lyerly is going to be in and talking about that. And we'll lighten things up a little bit as well with her, talk a little music and today in history as well, and kind of find out how things are going for her on the road today. So that's coming up at the bottom of the hour. Couple of headlines for you on this Monday, the 24th of June, 2024. The Biden and Trump campaigns are making their final preparation for CNN's presidential debate on Thursday. Both teams have spent weeks on honing their message on an array of issues, from the economy to foreign affairs to abortion. President Biden has sought to rally potential voters around reproductive rights, especially young female blocs that are crucial to his reelection chances. His campaign is hosting dozens of events across the country today to mark the 2 years since the Supreme Court's Dobbs decision, which overturned Roe v. Wade with the federal legal right to an abortion. Meanwhile, former President Donald Trump praised Supreme Court justices over the weekend for their role in tightening state-level restrictions on abortion and limiting access to the procedure. 3 days of mourning have been declared in Russia's Dagestan province after at least 19 people were killed yesterday in what appeared to be a coordinated attack against churches, synagogues, and police posts. It is home to a small Christian minority and even smaller Jewish population that appeared to be among the targets. In the Middle East, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu yesterday said that, quote, the intense phase of the war with Hamas in Gaza is about to end, unquote, and the military's focus could then shift to Israel's northern border with Lebanon. On the ground, around 800,000 people have been displaced from the southern Gaza city of Rafah, where conditions have been described by the United Nations Food Agency as, quote, apocalyptic. Netanyahu has come under increasing pressure from members of his own government and Israel's allies, including the U.S., to minimize civilian casualties and allow for more humanitarian aid to reach the Gaza Strip. Boeing and NASA have once again delayed the Boeing Starliner capsule's return to Earth from the International Space Station. Officials have pushed back Starliner's departure date several times after the vehicle was launched. Astronauts Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams to the space station on June 5th experienced helium leaks en route. Greg, does that mean they talk really loud once they get, or really high once they get to the space
Guys,
station?
Guys, let's go home.
This is serious. Like, they really did. NASA has.
Oh, now indicated, okay. Now I feel like a jerk. Okay, all right.
No. I'm the one that made the joke. It is kind of funny, but they're safe. Everybody's safe. That's the important
thing.
Yes,
there you go.
NASA has indicated the return of Starliner's inaugural crew won't come until sometime in July. I mean, as long as everybody has food and water and everything, why not get a little extra time in space, right?
Yeah. I'd do it if I knew everything. If I knew from top to bottom, I get there, come home safe. I would go on a NASA flight, not SpaceX. No, thank you.
Yeah, so you would not go on the SpaceX.
No, because I want to live.
Nobody's died.
I've had priorities. I don't know. I don't trust them.
Headline in the State Journal here from yesterday: Nation bakes, Iowa floods, and can this heat wave cause mental stress? Indeed, it can. We'll talk about it when we come back. Don't go anywhere. It's CBS. Yes, I only wish. It's Civic Media Mornings in for Up North News Radio.
Baby, now we got bad blood. You know it used to be mad love. So take a look what you've done. Because baby, now we got bad blood.
Hey, welcome back to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Todd Alble in for Pat Quitelow at Up North News, who will return tomorrow. Yeah, or no, tomorrow or the next day. I'm not sure.
Tomorrow.
He'll be back sometime this week. He's just what he's doing. I'm not supposed to tell this. Greg Bach joins me from our studios down at WAUK in Waukesha. I am in Madison. I'm not supposed to disclose this, but actually, one of our big summer Scani text to win trivia media contest winners chose the big pontoon boat ride. Down south here, and so Pat is brushing up on his pontoon captain license in order to capture that pontoon boat. So that'll be fantastic.
That's the only boat I ever want is a pontoon boat.
Really?
Oh, God.
He has one, you know.
I know. He tells me all the time. I'm like, it's 3.5 hour drive, but would be worth it.
Yes, absolutely. He invited Jane and I over there, but it just the logistics didn't work out. Yeah. So we're gonna have to do it another time. But yeah, he is a seasoned veteran, that Pat Quitelow, and he'll be back here with us tomorrow on Up North News Radio, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, courtesy of the Courier News Service. Checking the road conditions across the state of Wisconsin up north. Things look absolutely fantastic right now as the move further south, say below Highway 29. Still some flooding conditions in parts of Wisconsin this morning, so be aware of that after the heavy rains. Also, as far as traffic goes, over near the Green Bay area, the northbound at Dodge Street to, well, that's a smaller accident. I thought it was on a major thoroughfare, but that's a smaller accident in the Green Bay area. And then one down Highway 11 in the southern Wisconsin near Janesville is closed from South Old Wisconsin 11 to North Main Street. Again, some flooding in that area, and it looks like perhaps an incident there as well. Otherwise, no major traffic accidents to report across the state of Wisconsin. Again, parts of Wisconsin have some dense fog, particularly in those low-lying areas. So leave a little extra time if you're going to be traveling today. Temperatures across the state right now range from the upper 40s near 50 degrees in Superior right now, all the way down to 64 just south of Madison, 64 also in Racine, Kenosha, 55 in the Milwaukee area, 63 in La Crosse, 55 in Eau Claire right now, 54 in Wausau, home of Bull Falls Radio. Greg Bach, nicely done on the music there. We have a debate coming up, if you could call it that.
Yeah.
A little bit later on Thursday of this week between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. Civic Media will carry that debate coming up. I believe the pregame time is 7:30. The actual debate on CNN kicks off at 8 o'clock. We will carry it live here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Terry Bell, news director, and myself will be anchoring that coverage. And speaking of Terry Bell, he'll be in a little bit later in the program. In fact, it's around 7:49 to give us three things that are happening in the news this week. I'm sure that will be one of them. But I watched. You ever watch CBS Sunday Morning, Greg?
Oh gosh, yes. Oh my gosh, it's so relaxing.
All time favorite shows. Yeah, John Dickerson, who of course was a reporter for years, and then after Bob Schieffer retired on Face the Nation, they very smartly named John Dickerson the anchor of Face the Nation. And then everything went to hell at CBS this morning when Charlie Rose got caught up in the Me Too thing, and they said, this will be great. We'll move John from a job he's doing extraordinarily well and put him into something he's never done before. And so that did not last long at
what
all.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? And Norah O'Donnell, they fired Jeff Glor. They moved him to the Saturdays. They put Norah O'Donnell on the news desk, and Gayle King is the only person that survived because, you know, she's Oprah's best friend. No, she's very talented. In her own right. And so that didn't work out. And so they're like, what the heck are we going to do with John Dickerson? Well, they now have him still in New York. He has a program on their CBS streaming platform every night, and he's an ongoing contributor. But what he does extraordinarily well is write and knows politics like nearly no other that I know, because he knows history. And he had a great editorial piece on CBS Sunday Morning yesterday in which he laid out this debate coming up on Thursday and put the history of debates in there and saying, you know, one side comes and talks about their policy, the other side comes and talks about their policy. But he pointed out the uniqueness of this debate coming up on Thursday in that you have one major candidate in Donald Trump coming to this debate, and he still maintains and hangs on to the big lie that he won the election last time around, which nearly every program on this network and several others have told the truth time and again, that Donald Trump, it has been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, and again, it's important to point out, has been found so in a court of law with Trump-appointed judges, that Donald Trump lost the election and Joe Biden won the election. And Dickerson, John Dickerson, pointed out yesterday that can you really have a debate if you can't first start an agreement of the facts? And I think that's a really great point. So we shall see what comes up on Thursday, but I don't know. I mean, I Bill McCosian, who has appeared on Civic Media before, former chief of staff and commerce secretary under Tommy Thompson. I know he's been on your program, I think, Greg, and ours and others. McCaution was asked, I think, on another station and said, will Trump show up Thursday's debate? He said, yep. They said, will there be a second one? McCaution said, nope. Because all they get is a pen, a piece of, or a pad of paper, and a glass of water. No audience, no notes, and their mics will be turned off after their time off.
It's such a low bar for the former president and such a high, because like if Biden stammers at all, which he has a stammer, everyone knows, and people are going to be all over him. If Trump just looks halfway magnanimous, they're going to be like, oh, he did a great job. It's, I don't know. It just seems like
He's already laying the groundwork. You see this over the weekend? I'll see if I can find the cut. Already over the ground weekend, laying the groundwork, because what the Trump people are definitely afraid of is that Joe Biden will perform like he did with the State of the Union address.
Yeah.
Which was spectacular.
Was amazing.
Yeah, and so they're already saying that, well, you know, Biden's probably going to do well because he's hopped up on cocaine. That's what they're spinning.
What?
I'm not making this up. That because they brought up the whole, you know, whatever it was, a year and a half ago, that there was a little bag of cocaine found by Secret Service. Of course, so Trump over the weekend saying that if Biden does well, it's because he's on coke. and that if Trump does poorly, it's because he's actually having to debate three people in Jake Tapper, Dana Bash, and Biden, where Biden only is debating him. I'm not making this up. That is the groundwork being laid.
Have fun on Thursday.
Oh, yeah, it'll be a good time to have by all. We'll talk a little bit later on. Maybe we'll bring this up with Dr. Lyerly about the heat wave and can it impact mental health. We'll ask her that. Also, it is the second anniversary of the overturning of Roe v. Wade. We'll talk to Dr. Lyerly about women's health issues. And she'll probably take a call if you want to call in.
Yeah, please do that. We'd love to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Or if you're listening on the, watching on the live stream, leave a comment.
Yeah, leave a comment. You can text us as well on your Civic Media app. You can download it today at your favorite app store. And ask Dr. Lyerly if you got the sniffles, if you got a hangnail. No, I'm just kidding. Dr. Lyerly is next. Don't go anywhere. It is Civic Media Mornings with Todd Allball, Greg Bach, in for Pat Kreitlow, and Up North News. Back after this morning, I'm Todd Allball, in for a vacationing Pat Kreitlow. Greg Bach is with us as well from Waukesha. I'm at the World Headquarters in Madison. Weather-wise, around the state of Wisconsin at this hour, at 34 minutes past the hour of 6 o'clock on this Monday, June 24th, 50 degrees is still the temperature in Superior and Bayfield. Also down in around Amory, 63. 55 degrees in Eau Claire, 54 right now in Wausau, around 52 in Rhinelander, 59 in Green Bay, 63 degrees in La Crosse, 64 Richland Center, 61 here in the capital city of Madison, 55 in Waukesha, warmer near the lake, 63 over there in Racine and Kenosha. Looks like still no major traffic accidents as we take a look at the 511 Wisconsin around the state. Smooth sailing as far as on the roads. But if you're going to be driving south of, say, Highway 29, particularly in southwest Wisconsin, just be aware that, we're still experiencing quite a bit of localized flooding here in the southern part of the state after those severe storms over the weekend. So plan accordingly. And also in some places, some reports of some dense fog, which will burn off a little bit later. Weather forecast for today looks like most of today in Wisconsin will be dry, but then possibly some severe weather again as we get later into the evening and overnight, which we do not need, of course. Tomorrow things start to dry out, hot and muggy for the middle part of the week, and then kind of nicer as we get towards the weekend. At 6:36, it is time once again here, normally on Up North News Radio with Kreitlow, he brings on the wonderful, the talented Dr. Lyerly. She is an OBGYN. She is a mom. She is a fantastic person, and she is a congressional candidate over there in the 8th Congressional District in Northwest Wisconsin. Wisconsin. Dr. Lyerly, thanks for coming on with Todd.
I kind of feel like I should say thanks for being here, because I'm usually here on Monday mornings with Pat, but you're the new guy here in this slot, at least. So thanks for having me, Todd. It's a joy to be here.
It's my pleasure. You reached out and you said, so do you still want me? I said, yes, I still want you. My gosh. Are you kidding me? Come on now.
I love doing this segment. I think it's so much fun to wake up. I mean, it's Monday, right? It's like the weekend. Right. We're all a little hungover from all our activities on the weekend. And I'm not necessarily only saying like alcohol, but like, you really give it on the weekend and then you go back to Monday. But here we are, being cheerful and bright and talking about things that people care about.
Yeah, absolutely. You got Greg down in Waukesha. I'm in Madison. Where do we find you today, Dr. Lyerly, and all your travels?
I'm in northern Minnesota. And as soon as we get off the air, I am about to embark on my long drive back home. And it's going to be punctuated by a bunch of stops along the way because, of course, today is the Dobbs anniversary. So I'm talking to lots of folks, including Wisconsin Dems, Andrea Mitchell on MSNBC this morning in the 11 o'clock hour. Yeah, it'll be from the roadside, maybe in Spooner. So if you're in Spooner and you see a crazy person with a bike on the back of her car, that's me. Beep your horn, say hi.
That may be the first live hit on MSNBC from Spooner.
It's going to be Spooner or Chautauqua, somewhere on Highway 53, wherever I can find broadband. That's the plan.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, good for you. How are things going on the campaign trail these days?
Todd, it is so much fun. I had no idea. I mean, I'm a doctor and I love taking care of patients and I love hearing their stories and helping them solve problems. That really fills my bucket. This takes it to a whole different level. It's not just about abortion, certainly. It's not just about reproductive rights, but it's about all the other stuff that people are struggling with, like being able to put gas in their car and food on their table and the things they worry about. I hear a lot of people talking about the border. And once we start talking about, what does that really mean and how does that affect your life? These are conversations that people are desperate to have and they don't have a safe place. They get their information from social media and it just gets repeated in those echo chambers and they're not getting answers. They're just getting messaged at. So I love being able to have these conversations and helping people recognize that there is hope. There is hope, people.
Right. I love your energy and I love the fact that you say that because I think that people, it doesn't matter which side of the aisle they're on, they want to vote for hope. If the message is always doom and gloom and the world's coming to an end, that's not too inspiring to get to the polls.
I just feel so grateful when people tell me, because I think that we're so polarized right now as a society. It takes a little while for people to be willing to actually share their feelings. But that's one of the things that as Todd and I were talking off the air, it's not unusual because I'm an OBGYN doctor who talks about abortion a lot for total strangers to just walk up to me and tell me these very deeply personal stories. But my question for Todd was, tell me about the Dobbs anniversary from your perspective.
and I said I have a penis, so it's a little different for me and not a uterus. So, I think I'm always very mindful of that as a dude. It's an issue. It's one of the few things when I look at myself politically that I've matured on or changed my position on over the years. When I was a young Republican, I was pro-life, and because my faith is important, and I said, I just don't think it's right. But I always was one of those people that said or believed that you should have exceptions for life, incest, and endangerment of the mother's life. And I think over the years, as I listened to more of my female friends, as I kind of watched what was going on, I think at 38, I finally came out and I was like, I don't want the government telling me, whose bedroom I could be in or coming into my bedroom. And just the same way as I didn't want government telling me who I should be able to love or marry, I think it's the same way for women, that I don't believe government should be telling them what to do with their bodies. Mm-hmm. And I think that as guys, we just can never fully, even if you're married to a woman or have a girlfriend or a daughter or whatever, unless your body goes through those things that us as males will never be able to fully appreciate, from, you know, menstruation to, you know, later in life to menopause. We will never get it fully. And I think that you all as women deserve, like all of us, to have autonomy over your bodies and do what's right for you.
I really appreciate you sharing your perspective, because I feel like a lot of men want to have something to say and they feel muzzled, like they're not invited to the conversation. And what I've found is that there are a lot of people who have people that they care about in their lives who've been affected by this issue. I mean, I talked with some fellows at a breakfast on the farm. These were young people, and somehow the conversation, it always ends up in politics and this. Mm-hmm. And somehow these young guys were telling me stories about how my job was dangerous. I mean, these are guys who work on the road crew, and they're telling me that my job is dangerous and hard. And one of the fellows said, I understand, because my wife and I are having some problems getting pregnant, and it's been really hard for us. And he was really grateful, but I don't think he felt like he was invited to share his opinion or to share his feelings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, men experience it in a different way. It's not physical for them. It's not, like you said, it's not something that they're actually going through, but they're bystanders. Right. And that makes it, that's just a different degree of hard.
I also think that, and I've talked about this on Jane and Greg's show, on Matt and Aaron Air. I talked about it on, we had a call on my show. I don't know, Greg, it had been a few months back, but we had a caller that said, you know, well, I mean, you know, overturning Roe v. Wade, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, women are having to be forced to carry dead babies inside of them. And I said, no, actually, that's exactly what it means. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, that's ridiculous. I said, yes, I know. And so just, I mean, for those who might not have heard, explain that part of it and what it means to a woman, because I don't think that a lot of us, particularly males, fully appreciate. We're not talking about someone, a woman who gets pregnant and weeks or whatever down the road says, well, for whatever reason, I don't want to have or can't have this baby. We're talking about someone who may want a baby. And then what happens, Dr. Lyerly?
Well, yeah, I'd like to just debunk the things that you hear on conservative talk radio that people are using abortion for birth control. Abortion is a very expensive form of birth control if that's what you're doing, not just dollar-wise, but like physically, and it's very complicated to get. I don't know that I've ever met anybody who has said, I'm not going to pick up my pill pack today. I'm just going to take my chances. You know, people just don't do that. That is only on conservative talk radio. And the other thing I hear people say is, Democrats want abortion all the way up until the time of birth and sometimes after. And actually, was it on MSNBC over the weekend where somebody was saying, you know, abortions can occur up to 3 days after birth? And I thought, wow, this conversation has really, really gone astray here. That is absolutely not the truth. 100% not the truth. But what it does is it makes it very hard to talk about these topics because there are lots of emotions. And these are topics, like you said, Todd, that need to be discussed. These are people who have often desired pregnancies, who want to have a family, but there's something flawed about the pregnancy. Pregnancy isn't always straightforward, and it isn't always joyful for people. And that's why people have to have the ability to make their own decisions based on the situation that they are confronted with, all of the different alternatives, and decide what's the best for them. It doesn't just affect you right now. This is not like getting your oil changed. You know, this is something that the decision you make now affects you for the rest of your future. And that's what I talk with my patients about. It's not just, you know, what do you need in this moment, but how does this look for you in 10 years?
Yeah. I always mess up the term. Is it endoscopic? Is that the right term, pregnancy?
Oh, ectopic.
Thank you. I apologize. I'm no doctor. I'm barely a radio host. Talk about, because I think that's the example that so many people don't get. Please explain that.
Oh, yeah. ectopic pregnancies mean pregnancies that implant somewhere other than where they can grow and actually develop into a fully formed baby. You can get ectopic pregnancies. Commonly, they're in the fallopian tube. For whatever reason, fertilization often occurs in the fallopian tube. For whatever reason, implantation occurs there. But it can implant on the ovary. When I was in training, we saw someone who had a pregnancy that implanted on some of the great vessels in her pelvis, and the placenta was growing into her blood vessels. She was in danger, yes, of bleeding to death, like very quickly, because the placental tissue is very invasive. It's almost like a cancer. Mm-hmm. So these ectopic pregnancies don't survive to become babies. And in fact, they're the number one reason why women die early in pregnancy. When they rupture, someone can bleed to death very quickly. But the problem is that they often have that cardiac movement. Those little cardiac cells mm-hmm. are often able to be picked up on ultrasound. So in states where we have these heartbeat bills, which are not actually heartbeats, it's just the beginning of the fetal cardiac activity, in those states, can they treat people with ectopic pregnancies? You know, that's a huge problem. That's a huge question for people who are seeking care and for doctors who want to provide care. We're committed to saving people's lives. That's our job. But is it safe? Can we do that? Or what we've seen in Texas is doctors say, hop in your car, drive to New Mexico to get your ectopic taken care of. And here these patients know that they're in danger. They know that this is a life-threatening situation. And they know that they're going to be driving through rural West Texas where this ectopic could rupture at any time and they could just die in their car.
It's just, it's hideous. And again, if more male legislators would listen to what you said and have the unfortunate experience of knowing someone that went through this, I think their views would be a heck of a lot different. Talk to us. I mean, one of the most heart-wrenching things that I remember of 2 years ago was seeing particularly women in their 20s going to the state capitol and rallying and protesting, and with all seriousness, but with unfortunate naivete, looked at news cameras and said, they can't do that. They have to listen to us. We're the people. And I thought, boy, after going through Act 10 at the Capitol, the unfortunate truth is they don't. And unless people get out and vote, things like this will happen. And that's why it's so important to vote this November. I got 30 seconds left.
Yeah, this is, well, for a lot of people, this is the issue. You know, there are a lot of one-issue voters, and this has been a very effective issue for Republicans for a long time. That's how we got Roe overturned. That's how Republicans, I wouldn't even say Republicans, mega extremists ended up in the situation that they're in. But, you know, whatever it takes, you got to get out and vote because the future is at stake.
Indeed, and one of the great people you can vote for is Dr. Kristen Wiley over the 8th Congressional District, Green Bay area, Kakata area, the great area of the state. Come back and talk about music history and today in history. Have a little bit of fun. It's a Civic Media Morning with Alba in for Kreitlow. Back after this. Say it here, it appears on the airwaves. Welcome back to Civic Media's Morning. In for Pat Kreitlow, I'm Todd Allball. Up North News Radio will return next year. I'm at the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison. Greg Bach down in Waukesha. And Dr. Kristen Wiley, somewhere in America, saving America. No, she's in Minnesota. She'll be back in Wisconsin today. You can catch her on MSNBC from a wayside near you. And Shatek.
All right, folks, for your goodwill, I'm just going to cut their microphones right now. So.
Oh, but no, because we're getting into On This Day in Music History, my favorite segment, and there will be lots of singing.
It's way too early in the morning for Todd to start singing. All right, I'm not nearly as good at this as Kreitlow is, and I had a couple of... Todd, they put new computers in here, and we have a nice new studio. The problem is that Todd can't figure it out. And so I immediately grabbed my, because I didn't want to be late. And so I'm like, I'm just going to put the equipment that I know how to use. So I didn't dial up some of these things. But we'll go through a couple of these things here on this day in music history. Today, born today, in 19, well, should I say, Dr. Lyerly, do you want to guess how old Fleetwood Mac is?
Oh, 72?
pretty darn close. Born in 1947, so I believe they make him 40.
Oh, Mick Fleetwood. I thought you meant the band.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I was like, what are you talking about?
Mick Fleetwood. I'm sorry. See, I told you I'm not as good as Kreitler.
Greg's face is all serious, which is rare. Well, there's Greg a joke brewing.
Greg takes this very seriously. I don't blame him. Kreitler will be back tomorrow. Don't worry. Yes, Mick Fleetwood, born on this date in 1947.
Oh, so many good Fleetwood Mac songs.
Here we go. Let's listen to this.
I'll sing the girl part. You sing the Lindsey Buckingham part. That's you. Go, Todd.
I don't know the words. You know, I remember from this song? This is the song that they played at Bill Clinton's court when we got nominated in the convention in 92. And Tipper Gore and Hillary Clinton went out and put their hands on each other's shoulders and bobbed their heads back and forth. That's what I remember about this song.
Politicians trying to act like humans is some of the funniest stuff on earth. They're like, we're having fun. Fun.
Wait a minute.
But
you're better at it. You're better at it.
But it's I am fun.
This goes exactly to what Lyerly was talking about earlier, Greg Buck. Don't stop believing. You got to have some hope.
And this is the don't stop believing. This is a better sentiment than Journey's don't stop believing. I stopped believing them long ago.
I totally agree. I totally agree. This one is much, much better. All right. So what else we got here as far as this day in music history? Do you want to talk about Sweet Home Alabama or not? Because the problem is, you were saying during the break that Alabama's not as bad as people think it is in terms of abortion rights.
No. Not in terms of abortion rights. It is every bit as bad as people think it is.
That's what I thought it was.
There were people out there listening going, wait, what? Oh.
They spit up their eggs, for God's sake, when I said that.
I have a friend who is an IVF provider. It's her job to help families start families. And she has clients. She works in Georgia primarily. She has clients in Alabama. Their embryos are hostages right now. They are frozen. They can't get their embryos out because the embryos are people in Alabama, and there's fear that if you were to transfer those embryos, that if something happened in the process of transferring them and they were destroyed, that they could be charged for murder. So these people just want to start a family, but their embryos are stuck in Alabama. So that part is bad, but there are good things about Alabama. There are good people in Alabama.
Yeah.
There's a lot of history in Alabama. So, like, you know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
We can't.
So speak.
You're welcome.
On that note.
That one up for you.
All right, here we go.
I mean, it's a good song.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good song.
I used to play this song in bands I was in. It was a fun song to play. Everyone got off their chairs. They all start dancing and singing.
Right?
Everybody knows it. It's three chords.
It's a Sweet Home Alabama release. This date, back in 1974.
I'm the only one who was alive back then.
No. I was born in 69. So.
Todd, are we the same age?
When were you born?
69.
Oh, my God. October 21st.
You're so, that's great.
I'm 55 this year, and I'm going to be eligible for senior housing, for God's sake, and I'm not happy about that.
You got this, brother. You look great. If you can't see Todd right now on the live feed, on the live stream, he looks great.
You're too kind. All right. And also on this date in 1958, one of my all-time favorite Frank Sinatra songs is what Bette Midler sang to Johnny Carson on his last regular show. One for my baby and one more for the road. I love me some Frank Sinatra. You guys, you like that?
Mm-hmm.
I just finished the book, The Late Shift, which was about the battle for late night between Leno. I mean, it was a great, and I finished it this morning, and I started The Battle for Late Night, which is about Conan and Jay Leno. But with that in mind, I mean, perfect for me, but here we go.
All right, very good. So drop another nickel. Oh, you found that cut.
Watching Carson watch her and trying to hold back the tears.
say. Mm-hmm. You could tell me a lot.
Beautiful.
Yep.
But it's not in a gentleman's cold.
One more for my baby.
She is just a treasure.
And one more for the road. Brett Midler singing it, but it was released originally by Frank Sinatra on this date in 1958.
Lovely.
I think one of the best television programs in the history of television, at least since I've been alive, that evening, the only two guests were Robin Williams and Bette Midler, and it was magical.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, and you can watch all of that. He owns, his estate owns all of that programming, and they've put it on YouTube for free. You can watch days of interviews with him.
Here's how old I am. I have it on DVD.
Grandpa,
when Paytel came out with the DVD collection.
You can catch Dr. Lyle this morning. But what time are you going to be on MSNBC?
11 o'clock, and I'll be peppered onto Civic Media shows with Maggie Don and also with Kroot later this afternoon. So you're going to get a lot of me today.
Well, we always need more Dr. Lyle because you're one of those people that make us feel better. You explain things the way we can all understand. And for people in the 8th Congressional District, they can vote for you as well. I wish I lived there. Dr. Lyle, thank you so much. Safe travels today. We'll see you back here on Up North News Radio soon.
Happy Monday, fellas.
Happy Monday. Back with hour two of the show.